Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this year is the year of obedience, as we all know. The Lord is reminding all of us about the obedience that is commanded for all of us. This is only a reminder. This is not just for this year alone. We are all aware of that one. Each year the Lord brings out one aspect. The reason being, probably we might be a little bit tardy in that area. Probably we are being behind in that area, all of us. Otherwise, why would God bring one particular aspect in our lives, like relationship last year, obedience this year, and on and on? So we must take this seriously. It's not just for us to take one more word of God for this year, and then we have certain messages, we do presentations, we sing songs, and this year is on, and then we go to the next year. No. Every moment, if God is speaking, we must be diligent to hear what the Lord is speaking to each one of us. So the command the Lord has given to all of us this year is about obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 33. The first verse is, if you walk in obedience. Whenever you see a word, if you walk, or you shall walk in all the ways, then you have the blessing which God has promised. But if you shall not walk, the God is giving you the alternate which will happen to any of His children who will not or who shall not walk in obedience. So God gave two options there. God did not stop at one single option, which means it's a choice. God is not forcing anybody to walk in obedience, but He's saying if you shall walk in all the ways, the Lord will bless you. But what shall we obey? The question is, what shall we obey? All the ways, God is telling, in all the ways, there are multiple ways the Lord is asking us to obey. So in that perspective today, let us see one of God's important command for us to obey this evening in this victory night, wherein our victory lies in the obedience of us towards God. So let's open our Bibles to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Verse 14 onwards. Here, God is asking five questions to all His children. The questions are displayed on the screen. This is not me who is asking this question. This is not Paul who is asking this question. This question, or these questions, are being asked by God Himself to all His children. This question is not for the unbelievers. These questions are directed to everyone who claims that he is a child of God. So the first question is, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? A question mark. Second question is, what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, that is devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Five questions, straight questions asked by God to all of us across the generations, not just only 2026 to us. God asks everyone this question. So we see here, there is certain contrary place where it is possible for us to dwell. Righteousness versus wickedness. Light versus darkness. Christ or devil. A believer or with unbeliever. A temple of God or idolatry or idols. What is the answer for these questions? I want all of you to answer this question in your mind. The answer could vary from nothing, which means the answer is nothing for all the five, or everything. It's possible for people to say there are so many things which are common between light and darkness. Both are within the day. Some logic will come, human logic will come. Human wisdom will pop up. Unbelievers also do certain things, which I also can do because they are appearing neutral for me. Human logic may come. God, you are too strict for me to force me out of this world. I am being congested in this area. I am free when I go to this world. When I live with them, it's freedom. It's inclusiveness. It's acceptance. There are so many things they are telling when I'm there in the world. People are loving me more if I'm in the world. But you are asking me a straight question wherein I'm forced to say, is it nothing is common? So, before we answer now, so we might have answered certain things forcibly or voluntarily, but we must see why God has asked this question. There is a reason why God has asked these questions to all of us. It's not simply that God is a cruel God, that He wants to take away all the goodness of the world and pleasures of the world, and He wants us in a small, constrained place where we are miserable. Is that our God? We know He's not, correct? Then what is there? Then why is God asking us to come out? Next verses. Verse 16 to 17. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out of them and be separate. So that God has given a reason for asking these questions as well. He's telling, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Which means, if you come out, only then I will be able to fellowship with you completely. I am restricted when your one foot or one finger is there in the world. God is telling, only when you come out of this world, then I will be able to live with you, be among you. I can be your God and you can be my people. Therefore, come out. This is the command. So in this first month, God is asking about obedience. We know obedience in all the ways. You shall walk in all the ways the Lord has commanded you. So one of the most important thing is separation from the world. And then touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. So we will park this one for a while, and we will go again to one of the important scriptures and see how God views this world. What is the perspective of God about this world? Just now I have said some human logic. I will lose acceptance, I will lose love of this world, I will lose inclusiveness, I will lose certain pleasures which appear neutral and normal to the world. Lord, why are you constraining me and restricting me in the closed areas? This is my human logic, my humanity, my mind. Now God will answer us through His scripture. Let us open to Ezekiel chapter 28. You might be seeing it in reverse order, 28 and 27. It is for a purpose. So we are not reading in the same order of 27 and 28, but rather we'll come in a reverse way. We'll start Ezekiel 28, verse 11 onwards, the first part. So the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold on the day you were created. They were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. In other versions, till iniquity was found in you. So who is God talking about here? God is talking about one cherubim angel, whom God has created for a purpose. When God created angels, God created them in ranks and offices, which means all the angels have their specific ranks and offices, which means they have certain responsibilities to take care of. So one of the angel was this morning star, often called as Lucifer. And God is describing how he created this angel. He was a guardian cherub. And when he got created, God made him perfect in wisdom and beauty. Always when you talk about spiritual beauty, it's about holiness, which means all the angels were holy when they were created. Sister, can you just go to the slide and put the next picture? Yes. So probably if we try to describe the Lucifer when God created with our limited technology or human art or anything, so he would appear like this because God has ordained him with every kind of precious stones and the gold, and he was walking in the between the fiery stones because there was a place ordained for this guardian cherub. Why is he guardian cherub? Is because he is not protecting God. The word guardian is not always protecting from any evil or from any attack. That's how we misunderstand the words. Guardians means the one who covers. So this guardian, a cherub, or this Lucifer, is given responsibility to revere God in his holiness. He is the one who covers the holiness. So if you want the proof, if you go to the tabernacle, when the ark of God was there and God's presence was there, there were two cherubims covering the presence of God. Is somebody attacking that place that God wants two cherubims to guard that place? No. It is the reverence of his holiness. So there was an highest office and rank given to this angel. And then he looked instead of God, towards God, instead of God, he looked inside of him. Looking to God and glorifying God is what he's ordained for. But he said, see how beautiful I am made. So that was the pride that has come in the heart of this angel, cherubim. That's where you see verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and sin. Here God is bringing one word called trade. By the abundance of your trading. All versions say the same. So keep in your mind that word. Then, so I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom. What happened there? When this pride set in the devil's or that angel's heart, the very wisdom with which God has created, we see, right? God created him as a model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Two attributes God has given. One, wisdom. Second is beauty. Now, in his beauty, he became proud, seeing his beauty. And then that has made him to corrupt his wisdom. What is corruption of wisdom? When God has given a holy wisdom, when Satan saw that he was beautiful and he was proud, what he told, this wisdom, I will no longer retain it, but instead, I will twist this wisdom to enable me to go above God. That's the meaning of the corruption of the wisdom. The same wisdom what God has given, which means everything, the eternal knowledge has been shared with the angels in their ranks. So this Lucifer has that wisdom, and then the moment he is proud, what happened was he corrupted that wisdom. Once that wisdom was twisted, sin was born. Which sin we are going to see. So, I threw you to the earth and I made a spectacle of you before kings. So that's the judgment God has declared over the Lucifer, because he corrupted his wisdom and he became proud of his beauty. So when God judged him, immediately God sent Lucifer away from God's holy presence, which means he was thrown out. Where he was thrown? In the time of that creation, there was a place which is away from God, and he came to a place where he is no longer in the presence of God. But you know what attributes he gained during that? Pride, wickedness, and trade. I told you to keep that mind, trade. What is trading? Trading is always giving something in the expectation of receiving something. So who were there for Satan to trade? There were innumerable other angels who were already there for this Lucifer to go and trade his wickedness. Now he is no longer holy and wise. He is wicked and corruptly wise, twistedly wise. So he is using his corrupted, twisted knowledge and wisdom to go and trade with those remaining angels. So trade is what? He is offering something and he is asking them something. Keep in mind what he asked and what did they give. Right? So when he traded with them, many of them were attracted by this temptation which Satan offered them. And they said, this is very beautiful. If we leave God, you are giving us something very new, something attractive. Let us leave God. And then a third of the angels have left God. Right. So this is the story. Now what happened? God said, I have thrown you away from my presence. And then God created the earth, and then his beautiful creation in which you and me are part of it. Then Satan was thrown into the realms of the earth, under the domain of the aerial space and the physical space. And then the story goes on. He tempted Eve. Everything, we all know that one. But in Ezekiel chapter 28, we are going reverse. When verse 1 to 10 we are reading now. He already traded with the remaining angels and took hold of certain angels. He did not stop at it. His way of trading continued in the Garden of Eden and continued in the world even after that one. So when we see humans getting attracted to the temptations of the devil, they will sell themselves to this demon or the devil, Satan. One of the person who sold himself to the devil is the ruler of the city Tyre. That's why in 28 verse 11 to 12 we saw Satan being depicted as the king of Tyre, which means he had control over that land and the king and the activity that goes on in that land. So now verse 1, if you see, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, to the ruler of Tyre. This is what sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart you say, I am God. The one who sold himself to devil, what will he say? He will say the same thing what Satan says. Satan says, I am God. I am like God. So this man is also trying to say, I am God. I sit on the throne of a God in the heart of the seas. But God is telling you are a man and not a God. Though you think you are as wise as a God, or you wiser than Daniel, is no secret hidden from you. See the word there. By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself. This, again, we see that word wisdom. So the same corrupted wisdom has been transferred to the earthly people, the earthly kings, so that with that twisted wisdom and understanding, they have means to gain wealth in this universe, in this world. So this king of Tyre actually utilized the demonic wisdom and understanding. And what did he do? He amassed gold and silver in his treasures. By your great skill in trading, you have increased your wealth. And because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. Same like Satan. That how Satan influenced that earthly ruler of Tyre, and he exactly, like a puppet, acted in the hands of devil, and he became wealthy. So which means, what did Satan offer to this man for a bargain? He said, if you bow to me, I will make you rich. You have to imagine Jesus Christ on the wilderness, in the wilderness, when Satan tempted our Lord three times. Satan often offers the false pleasures of this world, false riches of this world. Now, this man has become a puppet now. Then what did he do? He actually utilized that wisdom, and then he did the trading in such a way that all the remaining nations also fell in trap in this king's temptations, or king's wickedness, this ruler's wickedness. Now we come back to chapter 27. So in chapter 27, verse 1 onwards, I'm reading. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take a lament concerning Tyre. Everywhere we see, God is actually declaring a judgment on the king of Tyre, who is the Lucifer, on the ruler of Tyre, the prince of Tyre, who is a man. Now, on the city itself, God is pronouncing his judgment, decreeing his judgment. Take a lament concerning Tyre. Say to Tyre, situated at the gateway to the sea, merchant of people on many coasts, this is what Sovereign Lord says. You say, O Tyre, now, this trend has come down to even to the place. The land is also saying, the man, the king said, I am wise, I am like a god. Now the city is saying, I am perfect in beauty. Your domain was on the high seas. Your builders brought your beauty to perfection. They made all your timbers and pine trees of Senir. And on and on and on it goes up to 10. Verse 10 I am reading. Men of Persia, Lydia, Put served as soldiers in your army. They hung their shields, helmets on your walls, bringing your splendor. Men of Arvad, Helek manned your walls on every side. Men of Gamad were your tower. They hung their shields around your walls. They brought your beauty to perfection. So here Ezekiel is comparing the city of Tyre with a ship on the ocean. If you read all those 10 verses, we don't have time. Sister, go to the picture. Okay, so what Ezekiel is trying to depict is that in those days, a beautiful ship is made and then it is left in the ocean, and all the nations were trying to help this land of Tyre to build this beautiful, tempting, attractive ship. Why? The ship has a purpose. What does ships do? It carries the goods and men, people. So there is a reason why Tyre, city of Tyre, is actually depicted as a ship on the ocean. So with that twisted wickedness of this king, what he done, the trading, is that he prepared certain things, seeing which all the surrounding nations were so attracted that they want to give anything to just get what this city is offering. Understand this one. There is something which is coming up. Right? All the nations surrounding Tyre were actually so attracted that they are ready to give up anything that they have, so to get what this city of Tyre is offering them. So let's read from verse 13 onwards. verse 12 onwards. You can open your Bibles. We'll come back to the picture. We'll first go through scriptures. Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth and goods. They exchanged silver, iron, tin and lead for your merchandise. Greece, Tubal, Meshech traded with you. They exchanged slaves and articles of bronze for your wares. Men of Beth Togarmah exchanged workhorses, war horses and mules for your merchandise. The men of Rhodes traded with you and many coastlands for your customers. They paid you with ivory, tusks and ebony. Aram did business with you because of your many products. They exchanged turquoise, purple fabric, embroidered work, fine linen, coral and rubies for your merchandise. Judah and Israel traded with you. They exchanged wheat from Minnith and confections, honey, oil and balm for your wares. Damascus, because of your many products and great wealth of your goods, did business with you in wine of Helbon and wool from Zahar. Danites and Greeks from Uzal brought your merchandise. They exchanged wrought iron, cassia, calamus for your wares. Dedan traded in saddle blankets with you. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your customers. They did business with you in lambs, rams and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Rama traded with you for your merchandise. They exchanged the finest of all kinds of spices and precious stones and gold. Haran, Kane and Eden and merchants of Sheba, Ashur and Kilma traded with you. In your marketplace, they traded with you their beautiful garments, blue fabric, embroidered work, multicolored rugs with cords twisted and tightly knotted. Let's stop here. A list of huge number of nations which are around Tyre, which is the then known world. That's the whole world. And Bible talks about these nations. At that time, that the entire world. Why is entire world so fascinated about one city? Why aren't they exchanging goods between themselves? You did not see anywhere. Nobody is exchanging anything between themselves. Judah giving to Dedan, Dedan giving to Togarmah. No, you don't see it. Everybody is after Tyre. Sister, please project that picture. Yeah, you see the direction of the trade that is happening. So all the world around is obsessed with what Tyre is making. And do you have it in your scripture what Tyre is making? All the goods were listed, but God did not mention what is this attractive thing which this Tyre is actually making, that they were all ready to sell their own souls. It is mentioned as wares, goods, products, merchandise. But they were not named. There is a reason for that one. Because what Tyre is making with the influence of its ruler and the super influence of its king, who is the devil, is to take all these raw materials and making something so attractive for the pleasure of their flesh. So they are creating the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of the life with everything they have in hand, the raw material, the goods which these nations are supplying to Tyre. So Tyre is not manufacturing any other goods. They have a creative demonic wisdom. What that creative wisdom means, it's not about the creation of the world. It's about how to manipulate the things of the world so as to please the flesh in such a way that men will be attracted, women will be attracted, they will sell their souls. That's exactly what happened on that day, on those times. And all the people sold themselves to Satan, to the Tyre. So what was being carried is that finished goods by Tyre, which is going back to these places, which they were fully into sin. That made God angry. That's the reason there was a decree of judgment on the city of Tyre and its influencer, the ruler of Tyre, and its super influencer, the king of Tyre, who is devil. Fast forward. Today, we come back in this world. Nothing has changed. So there was a lament on Tyre. It was judged. Nebuchadnezzar went and destroyed the Tyre completely. That business has stopped for that time. But God allowed that to continue in the world in a bigger way. And it was taken over by another city called Babylon. But that city is only a namesake city. There is a system that has taken over this merchandise business. That is exactly what you see today, which is being offered in the world from all the goods that is being exchanged. So these are the industries that have come up. So the industry that use the raw materials. So if somebody gives ornaments of gold, silver, topaz, ruby, what does this industry do? They make it polished. They make designs in such a way that anyone who sees that one can never take away their eyes from those things. Is it not true? We are all living in the same world. And we do see it day by day. But that's the fact. This is God who is speaking. Not only that one thing. So every raw material, when it is actually being created in a fashion to attract the lust of the men, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh and the pride of the life, that becomes a snare for the people. And so God is angry. So that Babylon has taken over in a very bigger way today in this world. And the industries, you see fashion industry, the ornament industry, the real estate industry, the music industry, the movie industry, the sports and entertainment industry, human slaves. So we go to Revelation chapter 18 for a while. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. And God is declaring the judgment now on the final Babylon who took over this from Tyre and deceived all the nations. So what is God's command again? The call of God to every of his children is always the same. Verse 4 I'm reading, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. Now God is actually at the final juncture of judging this bigger Babylon, the full world system. If anybody is caught in that Babylon, you will receive the share of the judgment. That's what God is warning. You can't even put your little finger in that Babylonian world. You can say, God, it is so beautiful, I will just keep my finger and whole body I will keep in the church. Not allowed. Because God is telling, I can't be with you, I cannot fellowship with you if you are keeping even a little finger in the worldly system. Don't worry about perfection, but I want conformity is what God is telling. Do not conform to the world. So it's conformity is what God is interested in. How to make you perfect? God knows perfectly. Leave it on him. He is the sanctifier of your souls and my soul. So now, what is the commandment God is giving to all his children of obedience is to come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins. So if you go to verse 11, what is this new Babylon doing? The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys her cargoes anymore. Because when God judges, all this trading and transactions will stop forever. So what was this Babylon doing till that time? So it was trading the cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine, olive oil and fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages and bodies and souls of men. See the last word. The trading is happening with the bodies and the souls of men. So people in this world are selling themselves. They are selling their own bodies. I don't need to explain that one. You know what it is. Now, if we come back to those five questions, would we say that God is restraining you, constraining you, or God is making you free from the misery of this world? It is attractive because Satan always projects himself as the angel of light. Sister, can you please project the next picture? If Tyre was depicted as one ship in those days on the oceans, Now Babylon is projecting herself like this today. Who in this world will not be attracted with such an offer which Satan is offering in the world? It's a fact. I'm telling you, a child, from small child to the eldest of you. But this is a lie. God is telling, this is a lie. Every pleasure is included in that one that will make you destroyed in the lake of fire. Because I am going to judge this. God is telling, I'm coming soon. Because of their wicked trading, because of their corrupted wisdom, I'm coming and judging all this glitter and glamour of this world, which you are seeing now. Then, where do you want to be? It's a Sodom and Gomorrah situation for all of us. Do you want to stay there for a while and see? You can't. Everyone who stays there will be burnt along with that system, Babylonian system. So the question is now, are we willing to say that, Lord, there is nothing between you and devil? There is nothing common between a believer and unbeliever. Now you have to say it with understanding. Previously we have said so many things with our human knowledge. God said, I will explain you why I am saying this one, why I ask these questions. There is a reason why I am asking these questions. There is a history behind these questions. The history of universe is there beyond these questions. Now, when you have this understanding, do you want to still say that I want to have my little foot there? You can still trade because it's a choice. God has given both options. You shall walk, you shall not walk. Next slide, sister. What can you trade? So now God is offering something beautiful here. There is a trade here as well. Matthew chapter 13, God is telling, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and then bought that field. This is Christ crucified for you and me. The treasure. That doesn't appear attractive. That appears gory to you. A man with all the blood on his face, with his hands and foot completely nailed, ugly. That's Jesus on one side, and that ship is on the other side. God is asking, what would you trade? Will you trade everything what you have for that demonic corrupted wisdom? Or the heavenly wisdom with which I came down and died on the cross for you and me. For you. This is what God is asking. You can trade. Choice is everyone's. From a small child to the elderly one. Verse 45, 46, God says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold something and that he had and bought it. Is that so? How much did he sell? Yes, he sold everything. In the first verse also, he sold all he had. God can never accept partial obedience. And this obedience is not works. This is the heart. Always remember. God is ready to justify you freely because he took it all on himself. But your obedience is to give your heart completely. Then your walk will be made perfect once your heart is made right with God. This is a doctrine. Understand this one. Don't mix up the doctrine. You will never walk completely to make God satisfy fully. It is Christ who satisfied God on that cross. That is the treasure. That's why you have to give up all your heart desires. And then you go and trade everything and go take this one. God said, I will come inside of you. I will be with you. I'll be among you. You will be my child and I will be your God. Isn't it beautiful? And now does it make sense why God asked these five questions? So on the face value, we just open the book and God is very harsh. He's very cruel. He's not letting me to enjoy the world. But no, God wants you to be holy and joyful, not just be happy with the worldly system. There is a difference between that one. You can be joyful. Everyone who sold themselves to the Babylonian system were never joyful. There is a misery hidden behind that glitter and glamour. People go in, step in. Initially, everything is pleasurous. More you step inside, more you go. It's misery. It's depression. It's everything that is demonic there. But when you go to God, the first step itself will give you a joy that will never fade away. That's our God, Jesus Christ. Do you want this Jesus Christ? Close your eyes. Reflect on what God has spoken, these 5 questions. And how would you like to answer these questions? In your solitude, you need to decide. I have just facilitated what God has spoken. It is a direct command from God to all of us. Every one of us has to reflect in this new year on this victory. Victory lies in the obedience to Jesus Christ our Lord. Not in any of the worldly system. Not in any of the twisted doctrines in this world. A simple, hearty obedience will give you victory in Lord Jesus Christ. So do you want this Jesus Christ? Children, youth, elders, an offer from God, a gentle God's offer. He does not force anybody. You can decide now. You can decide in your solitude, in your bed. But these questions will always remain truth. Nothing will change. Because God is unchanging. His truths are forever established. So reflect on this one. Even as the choir comes to the front and ministers to us, I request all the elders to come forward. And if you want to be ministered by God directly through your servant elders, come forth, confess what you want to say to God, and receive God's grace and mercy. I request choir to come forward. Shall we all close our eyes even as they are ministering us? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we say thank you for the word which you have spoken. We commit the word into your hands, O Father God. Lord, every heart and mind who has received this word, we ask you to minister to their hearts and minds, O Father God. Let your effective work be in their hearts, even as they meditate upon your word today and the days to come, Lord. May your will be done in each and every one of your children's life. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.